called someone. I was like, see, this December, should I carry my car and drive to the east? He was like, don't drive, oh, that road, oh, they're gonna do this. So you're a young boy, oh, I know you have a legitimate business, but don't go back. There's this whole thing about Igbo people like to build mansions in their village.
Bueno.
My parents, actually, they didn't build their first house in the city that they live in. They had to go back to the village. Can you please explain this principle to me? They were now like, oh, as an Igbo man, as an Igbo woman, you're not really recognized until you have built something at home. Here you are in the city, you're paying rent, but then your house in the village is accumulating dust because there's nobody there. That principle, I didn't understand. I don't think I subscribe to that school of thought. My parents do have a house in the village that I don't think I'm going to live there. And it's only now that they are trying to build a house where they are based. So young people right now, with the whole social media, yo, people want to be in Greece. They want to be in Italy. They want to be eating croissant in Paris, you know?
I know, right?
Nobody's in the village, you know? It's going to go away as our parents, that generation pass away. We want something different. Real estate, it doesn't stand by its own. It needs infrastructure. Real estate is not about the house. You're buying a community. You're buying a lifestyle. You're buying quality of neighbors that you have. You're in Pinnock living in a 1 billion naira house and you just leave your estate. Then you're surrounded by houses that are very cheap and people that are not doing as well as you are. Let's just call it spade a spade. The real estate market here is not for people that don't have money. But I hope Lagos don't get to that point where me and you can't afford to live in Ikate or now we are now pushed to Ekpe. I'm hearing, guys, 15 million naira for rent. How much does an average Nigerian make with a normal job? Because all of these flashy things that we are seeing here, people driving G-Wagon, we are less than 1%. People are now renting houses for 15 million, 20 million. Some are even converting it now to dollars. How much it costs to rent number one body loan?
$120,000.
Dollars! For someone like me, I have no business living in Ikate. I don't mind living in Ekpe, but the only problem is when I go and get a very nice house in Ekpe, they did that I want to come out and do a business in VI or something, then I'll spend the whole day on the road. But if there was probably like a train that can do maybe 30 minutes here, 30 minutes back, I wouldn't mind. The train in Lagos right now, how long did that thing take to get complete? When I moved to Lagos, I was seeing the pillar.
A CMS, right?
Yes. And every year, it only launched like, where was it, last year? Why does everybody want to live in Banana Island? There should be a plethora of options. I don't necessarily need to have a house in Banana Island. I can beat my chest and say, I don't want Banana Island house. People are migrating to where they are going to see opportunity. When we're young, anybody that wants to make it comes to
the city.
I think the government can use that narrative to reverse engineer the chaos that they have caused, the traffic in Lagos and Abuja. Take all these headquarters away. If you're a real estate agent watching this video, stop tagging all your houses luxury. I feel we're using that word too much, that even the word luxury is ashamed of itself. You cannot say affordable luxury. You cannot add anything cheap to the word luxury. Luxury is luxury. Hello, can we be honest with ourselves here? You're going to buy a house of 150 million. There is no way that house is luxurious. You're selling a house in Aja. You're calling it luxury. How functional is this property? The government needs to come in and make sure they certify this real estate development, because go to Shongosedo right now, you would count how many real estate development company they are. They are coming out every day. These are people that have no experience. I advocate for young people going into real estate. I'm not talking about the 65-year-old people. It's just so unfortunate for us. There is no mortgaging, but there are some people that they don't earn so much and they are in their 30s. They want to buy this home. So you need to save at least half, like maybe 60, 70 million in your hands, and then meet a real estate agent and tell them whether it's you want residential, you want somewhere to live, or you want an investment. And then they would advise you. Should you buy land? Should you buy an apartment? Or should you keep waiting? Maybe you go into an off-plan project, they're telling you this apartment, now they are selling 40 million. When it's completed, they'll be selling for 80. And the real estate agent will advise you to key into it. You key into it, and then you start hustling up to pay the rest. That's one of the easiest way. Except you're ready to chest the interest rate. You want to go and get a loan from banks and collect 12% or 15% or 17%. Or you go to your village. No. I'm not playing. Yeah, you go to your village.
Welcome to the KK Show, Key to Keys. Now, right here is where we talk about everything real estate happening in Nigeria. Now, today's special. I have a special guest with me. He's a content creator, a YouTuber, and a serial investor. Without further ado, welcome with me to my podcast, Stephen Ndukwu.
Sound check. You know, I'm always the one like interviewing people on my show. So
today's different.
Yeah.
I'm interviewing you.
I'm just like, okay, so I'm going to see what they say, you know, edit some parts, you know, just, am I too loud? Am I too low?
You're good.
But yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
You've got it. You've got it.
Yeah.
You've been doing this. You've got it.
It's nice. It's nice to be on your show, actually.
It's so good to have
you. If I have $1 million, definitely, I'm probably going to buy a property from you. So.
Say that again.
Yeah.
Thank you. How have you been?
I've been all right. Just finished a series of trip.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, we were supposed to do this earlier on. And you were like, oh, I didn't tell you I was going to go to South Africa. And then you called again. I didn't know I was going to be Kenya. So
everywhere.
We're just on the go. Just, you know, trying to do the Lord's work in every country and try to conquer territories.
I know, right? I mean, of course, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, 100%.
So tell me, how has the journey to travel and filmmaking been?
It just comes off of like the kind of life that I wanted to live. And that was literally what informed the kind of work that I do right now as a creator. So I've always wanted a kind of job that allows me the flexibility to not be tied to a particular country in terms of earning, and one that would allow me at least see the world, because I grew up from a very small town, Calabar, Cross River State, for some of you that know. Life there is quite slow, you know. Like I used to tell some of my friends, I didn't know that I was poor until I moved to Lagos, you know. So how I started making videos, you know, a group of my friends, we decided to go to La Campagne. This was like maybe 2015, 16-ish, like a long time ago. A lot of people didn't even know about La Campagne. And then I took my GoPro, I decided to vlog it, you know, and, you know, we had fun. And then when I posted the video, people were like, wow, this is Lagos. I'm like, yes, this is Lagos. People were like, oh, we didn't know, like, you guys had like, I mean, this is like, you know, 2015, 2016. Wow. So when I did that, my friends were like, you should actually do this. Like, you know, so I was like, okay, COVID, we all locked down in the house. I called a friend of mine, Debola, shout out to you. So he was like, I told him, please bring your car for me. Cause I didn't have a car. So bring your car. Let's just drive around Lagos, you know, filming some nice places in Lagos. We did it. And that, I think that was like my first video to cross like 100,000 in like a week. I was like, okay. So what is content creation actually? And then I started researching, and all of that, I was like, okay, so this path has the potential to give me the kind of life I want. And then, you know, I picked it up. I was like, okay, so since people always tie Nigeria to some negative connotations. Yeah. I was like, okay, so now let me see how I can use my content to start changing this narrative. Mm-hmm. And then we went there, started showing some real estate. We started showing some very nice building that people would say, oh, this is not Lagos. Like, these properties are nice. We started, you know, traveling around, showing some resorts here and there. And then I expanded to Nigeria, started going to some other places in Nigeria, in the north, in the south, and even here in the west, you know. And then we're like, you know, okay, let's expand a little bit further to West Africa. We did. And then let's expand a little bit further. Went to other African countries, the north, the south, the east. Right now, I just want to tell stories. I want to promote Black excellence wherever they are, whether it be here in Africa or outside Africa. So I'm going to go to these European countries, the American. I want to speak to Black people running Black-owned businesses. And, you know, just promote the narrative that, you know, African people, whether home or abroad, we have the potential. To be global world-class leaders in every industry. So I've told you before, pre and after. That makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense. Beautiful. I mean, I love the drive. I love what you're doing, telling our story. You know, the whole narrative is being changed because of people like you. So thank you.
We're trying with the internet. So like, we need more people, you know, we need more people to come on board to, you know, make this, because a lot of people be like, the content creation industry is a little bit saturated. Yes, I know. But, you know, you could just come up wherever. And that's one thing we talk about, the internet. The internet has been able to allow local people tell their own story. So before now, if you probably go to South Africa or you go to Namibia, you're going to have the white media, CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, all of these stations. But now with the internet and also the affordability of smartphones and accessibility to internet, local people are now telling their stories. So more people need to come on board and tell the African story, whether it be in real estate like you're doing, or in travel, or share the culture, the traditions, and all of these amazing things that we do have in Africa.
Beautiful. So as someone has captured cultures and stories, now what's your most memorable story you've ever captured?
There are a few of them. There are a few stories, right? But one that I really did enjoy filming, I was in Nigeria, actually.
Really?
That was sometime early this year. It was about the mansions. There's this whole thing about Nigerian people like, okay, not even Nigerian, Igbo people like to build mansions in their village.
Bueno.
Yeah. So I just spoke to my, I spoke to my mom. I was like, you know, my parents actually, they didn't build their first house in the city that they live in. They had to go back to the village to build, right? So I was like, can you please explain this principle to me? They were now like, oh, as an Igbo man, as an Igbo woman, you're not really recognized until you have built something at home. So here you are in the city, you're paying rent, but then your house in the village is accumulating dust because there's nobody there. So that principle, I didn't understand. So I went out to investigate why. You know, so it was, it's like a big thing, you know. So during December, all the Easterners, everybody on the road with their bags, their families, everybody is going to the village. Music, food, celebration.
Everything.
Like, yeah, so... it was like a very interesting story for me, and because I'm Igbo as well, so I just related so much with the story, so I wanted to tell that story. So I went on there, filmed these people owning multi-million dollar homes, and you know, funny how I spoke to the man, one of the guys I interviewed, I spoke to him yesterday. I was like, when are you coming back to Nigeria? I say, Stephen, I think I'll be back this December. I say, for how many days? Just a week. And you know, so that was like a very interesting one in Nigeria. Outside of Africa, I shot something in Namibia about the Himba tribe. That I found that story to be quite interesting. The Himba people are nomadic. They don't have a house. So they move where there's rain, like where there's rain.
Rain, okay.
You know, so if it rain, if they're here, for example, if they were to be in Nigeria, they hear that it's raining in Ibadan, they're going to walk and go there and set their camps. And, you know, they don't wear the clothes that we wear like that. So let me know, go into detail before YouTube would block your video. But that was a very interesting story. And they are quite a number of stories I liked as well that I filmed. The last one I shot in Senegal about Akon City. I've been following that project. Yeah. I've been following that project since. I was like, yo, I want to see how this project come alive. You know, I was like, I'm going to Senegal. Okay, let me just go check out this site. You know, so I mean, there are a few more stories that we filmed. And one that I'm going to release shortly is the life of African people that relocated to the UK. Okay. They're just telling me their stories of like the actual reality as a black person.
That's going to be an interesting story.
Yeah, so just everyday people telling me how life was for them, why they decided to move, and why the UK is not exactly what people think it is. That's going to be an interesting story as well.
Sure.
Let me not keep talking because we do have stories.
So have you built your mansion in the village yet?
Have I built a mansion in the village? I don't think I subscribe to that school of thought. I'm going to do a part two, actually. I'm hoping we should do a part two because I didn't end the video well, right, for that one. So we're going to do a part two where I get to like see my own perspective on what I think about such beliefs. But it's funny how when I posted that, a lot of people in Kenya, in Cameroon, in South Africa, they were like, oh, they do have a tribe that do similar things. You know, they build mansions in their village that they don't necessarily live in. So it was quite interesting to hear that. So I don't have a mansion in my village. I don't have a house in my village. My parents do have a house in the village that I don't think I'm going to live there, but they do have a house. So no, I don't.
And they don't stay in the village?
They don't stay in the village. They go to visit.
Okay.
And it's only now that they are trying to build a house where they are based.
Wow.
So is that an interesting story?
Very interesting. Very interesting. You know, I've also heard my mom say that, you know, we need to have something. Mm-hmm. It's the way they say it in Igbo.
Akurono. Like the way they said it. Akurono. I'm sorry. It's so embarrassing. I'm Igbo and I can't even say this thing. But what it means is good wealth must come back home. It's called Corona. So if you are truly wealthy and they are not hearing about you in the village, you haven't made any money, man. Yeah. So what most of these people do is they go and start building infrastructure. They build, like the man I interviewed, he built a mansion. We're talking about 10,000 square meters and he has a small house inside. So what he did now, he wants to do the road and he's building like a small school for the community. So this is Igbo culture. Okay. So they don't only like do these things for themselves.
All right.
They also try to like, you know, empower their community by contributing to, you know, infrastructure, whether it be building schools or water, building boreholes. So it's also a good thing too for the nearby community. Yeah.
Do you think this whole philosophy is ending with our parents?
I think so. I think it's going to end with that generation.
Hmm.
Yeah, because the young people right now, with the whole social media, yo, people want to be in Greece. They want to be in Italy. They want to be eating croissant in Paris, you know?
I know, right?
Yeah, nobody's in
the village.
Nobody's in the village, you know? But I think the way we look at village, we're like, village, like it's a rural settlement infrastructure. I think when you start seeing a village as a country home, you know? It's like,
yes. You know, I think our parents didn't do so well.
It's not our parents, it's the government. So because when you look at Nigeria, I think we're going to go into this deeper later in the conversation, but when you look at infrastructure in Nigeria, it's very centralized, right? So when you say a village, there's really no place like a village. I mean, the way we paint a village is a rural settlement where there's not much infrastructure, and this is literally where you came from, right? But it's more than that. In your village, there could be industries, there could be...
Yeah, that's true.
People can go there to work, you know? So if every 36 states in Nigeria was very much developed like Lagos, would you then call your village a village?
But that takes away the beauty of village.
No, it's still fine because this is where you come. Okay, so for you, you want to drive to a place where there's no road. There's, you know, then you start seeing people.
I traveled to the village recently and I'm like, this is not the village I used to know.
Yeah.
There was this, you know, community, something different really. And we used to have this OB. I don't know if you guys had it.
What?
Where the whole other families just come, you sit, you tell yourself stories.
Yes.
We don't have that anymore.
It's going to go away as our parents, that generation pass away. We want something different. Me, I want to travel the world.
Not the village.
Nah, not the village. I want to travel the world because when you even think about it, the whole beauty of that thing was people come together, all your cousins, all your family. But now everybody's scattered. Everybody has jackpot. People are in the US, people are in the UK, Switzerland, everywhere. So you are going to the village by yourself. What are you going to go and do there?
That's so true.
Yeah.
I think everything still falls back to the government, because if we had a good government, a good system, people won't have to be traveling elsewhere looking for greener pastures.
Hey, there's something I want to see. Listen, I called someone. I was like, see, this December, should I carry my car and drive to the east? I was like, I want to do a part two of an episode. He was like, don't drive, oh, that road, oh, they're going to do this. So you're a young boy, oh, this, I know you have a legitimate business, but don't go back. Don't drive. You want to drive? Okay, I'll give him a whole person your car. They'll bring your car for you to the village. You enter the plane. And, you know, like, it takes away the whole beauty of that thing. It used to be like, oh, we are driving back home. You make multiple stops to buy bread.
You know those things. Those things. Oh my God.
You know,
oh my
like, God. Let's not go deeper into that.
Now you've traveled around the world.
I mean, I have not traveled around. I haven't touched
all the
continents.
How many countries have you been to?
We're still under anywhere around 24, 25. So we still have 25 minus 196. It's still a lot.
Still a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have a timeline to explore?
I don't know. It's not every country that I would go to, definitely.
Okay.
But I would go to like the major ones, the ones that have the most stories. You know, I'm not going to go to Papua New Guinea. Do you know where that is? You know, it's Papua New Guinea, just above New Zealand. I'm not going to go there, man. Right?
Iceland? Are you going to try Iceland?
Yeah, Iceland. Yeah, a friend of mine actually in Kenya was saying, let's go to Iceland. So now it's on my bucket list for next year.
Yeah,
I'm going to go. Iceland is not actually far. I think he said it's like a 2 hours, 30 minutes flight from Paris.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll try as much.
It's on
my
bucket list too. I mean,
oh, interesting.
The Aurora. I want to see that.
Okay, I want to see like active volcano, you know?
Okay.
Like I saw one in Oldoyo Lingai. It's called Mountain of God. I did a 12-hour hike to that. It's still a memorable story for me.
Wow.
I did a 12-hour hike to the top of the mountain, and up there in the mountain, you see like a real volcano, like boiling, like... You know, come on, man. These are things that you can't read them in storybooks. You need to go and experience
so
it for yourself.
I can see from your eyes. You know, they're memorable to you.
Yeah. So yeah, you were asking me stuff about like traveling. Well, so we're still traveling. Maybe you asked me this question again in like 3 years' time. I should be able to give you perspective from all over the world. Yeah.
Okay. Now you've explored real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You've traveled to some countries. You've seen real estate in different countries. What would you say in comparison to what we have in Nigeria? Do you think we're doing well? Some people, I mean, I sell real estate. I get, you know, the accolades. You guys are really doing well compared to this and that. You have traveled to so many countries.
Yeah. What, so the developers say? Themselves, they are trying. They are trying as much as possible to come up with very nice drawings, very nice building. But when you think about real estate, it's not, it doesn't stand by its own. It needs infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are building the Nigeria version of Iron Man house that they have in Cape Town in Nigeria that doesn't have infrastructure, it doesn't have roads and all of these green, all these things, like it's then trash. But I would say the developers are trying, the building designs are improving. There's little you can do. The government needs to step in and say, you know what? Because when you think about real estate is all about beautifying the city.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of these people, in as much as they're doing it as a business, they're also contributing to developing and beautifying the city. So they do need the government to step in. But in terms of the designs, I would say like Lagos have way better designs than even Abuja.
Really?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Abuja houses are just bigger.
Yeah, they're just bigger. So in Lagos, most people are adopting the whole upscale contemporary kind of architecture.
Yes.
Right? But when you go to countries like Kenya, their rich neighborhoods like Karen, their architecture is quite different, you know. In South Africa, there are a few cities too that would have such similar kind of architecture, even in Cape Town, in Joburg. But these are like mostly like all of this modern, especially in Cape Town, you're going to see this Dutch-inspired architecture. I think it also has to do with the people that colonized you. You know, most of them built homes before they finally left the country, so the country would adapt. But that's the very beautiful thing about Nigeria, is most of the things that are being built now are being built by Nigerian people, you know. So if you're asking me that question in terms of the architectural design, they're trying. The designs are nice. And in as much as a lot of people on some of my videos that I posted would say the space can be better.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to ask yourself, how much does the land cost?
True.
You know, because when you even look at where they are developing in an area that it's already like the lands are reducing. You know, there are some neighborhoods in Cape Town right now, like the Bantry Base and Camp Space, there's no land anymore, you know. So I feel Lagos is going to get to that point where there is no more land. So then you need to start expanding. I think we're already seeing that happen, where it is expanding. So when you think about space, you're not going to go to New York and say you want a spacious 3-bedroom. You better bring.
And I think Lagos is more or less like the New York of Nigeria.
Yeah, like the hustle, the bustle, without the infrastructure, of course. So I think more developers now has to start going up instead of building like terraces and townhouses, in as much as from a business perspective, it doesn't make sense for them. But as city planners, you have to think about housing deficit.
Yeah.
How many people are coming to Lagos? Can they get homes to live in? So now we have to start thinking about skyscrapers, you know? So that's why when you go to, I think Dubai, they're doing a very great job in that regard. It's going to be a long time before the number of people needing a house would surpass the available units,
Is there any area, any country whose real estate stands out for you?
I would say everybody have their unique style. In as much as we are now a little bit westernized, we are being influenced by the likes of, I want to have like a California lookalike mansion. You know, we are not staying native to our architecture. It's quite interesting though. I went to this development. It's a development in Mauritius, and when you look at it from the drone shot, it looks like a mud house. The architecture looks like a mud house, but they are very nice modern buildings, right? But it now depicts that African kind of building. And that's why you have to give kudos to the Arabian people. Like when I was in Qatar, you see, in as much as they have a section in their city where you're going to see these very upscale towers, skyscrapers, they still have a section where they have their native architecture, you know? So that is going away from us. I wish we can do better in that regard.
Okay.
Kenya, we're quite different, because you have to think about Africa. We're all colonized by mostly like different conquerors. You know, each of them bring their own stuff to us.
Yes. So
in Kenya, you would go, you see something very different. They are very big on greenery. You can see a house sitting on like 2,000 square meters, and then you see like a very small portion of house just in there. Swimming pool is a must. Walking path is a must in their property, you know, and the the buildings are a little bit colonial, like, you know, it's not very upscale, like upscale, you're going to find here. In South Africa, you'd have a mix. Like, you know, I've been to an estate called the Waterfall Equestrian Estate. There you're going to see like, you know, the Bel Air, Beverly Hills kind of infrastructure. We're talking about huge properties, you know, like, you know, those kind of properties that have a driveway leading into their properties, that type. But then you go to a place like Stellenbosch. Stellenbosch is in Western Cape, not too far away from Cape Town. Then you're now going to see Dutch architecture. You know, all those kind of buildings that have like their roofs are like this.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see that. And then you go to the Atlantic seaboard. You go to Clifton, which is one of the most luxurious neighborhood in Africa. Then you see like very upscale properties hanging on top of the hill. Every African country do have something unique. A lot of people, however, are trying to adapt this Western type of building because buildings. Then they believe
exactly.
This is what will we, the consumers, like. Because for them, they are business people. They are also looking at, okay, if I build this house, who's going to buy it?
True.
You know, so everybody, for me, I want to live in a modern house. I want to live in an upscale house. I want to live in a house that have the roofing style, like you can't see the roof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those flats. You look, yeah. You know? So that's literally what they're going to build. They're not going to build a Dutch or French looking architecture.
Well, I think there's a way they could do it. Really, I think developers have a way of influencing the market too. It's just about the style. Because there was a project along Eleko, they used bricks. And people bought, I mean, the red bricks. People bought
the project. Oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, people bought the project. You know, I just feel they have a way of influencing the consumers. Make it stylish, give them what they want, but do something different.
Yeah.
I think that would work. What do you think about that?
I mean, I do agree with that. I do agree with that. But I think for them, they're just business people thinking of supply and demand.
Nobody wants to just
I'm not going to take a risk. Do you understand? It's just like,
that's true.
Yeah, I'm not going to take a risk. So I want something modern. I'm out there in the market looking for something modern. Don't come and give me, you know, something different, you know. But yeah, there's always someone that will come in and want to change the status quo. They want to do something different. People, obviously, when they see it, okay, it's new, but it's a risk.
Sure.
Question is, are they going to take the risk? You know?
That's true.
If you want to buy a house, let me ask you, what kind of house would you buy right now?
Of course.
Yeah, you want to buy a modern house, like modern very house. Upscale,
very
Masonite kind of,
like,
you know, all of those kind of buildings are not native to Africa.
That's true.
We live in mud houses. You know, like, no, when I started posting this episode, people were like, oh, I thought Africa, you live in mud house.
I know, right?
Yeah, we thought it's a mud house.
And we have monkeys all around.
Monkeys jumping out.
You're an investor.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the Lagos market? Do you think it's overhyped? What can you say about the market?
So I think real estate is overhyped everywhere in the world.
Okay.
It's just that for some, you would say, okay, this is value for money, right? But I think when people think of Lagos real estate specifically, is the infrastructure around the real estate. When you say a house is 1 billion naira, what infrastructure?
You're not just selling the house.
Yeah, because real estate is not about the house. You're buying a community. You're buying a lifestyle. You're buying the quality of neighbors that you have. So you're in Pinnock living in a 1 billion naira house and you just leave your estate. Then you're surrounded by houses that are very cheap and people that are not doing as well as you are. I think Nigeria is a very good place. That's why we have a lot of developers coming to the market, because they know it's very profitable, right? When you look at the numbers of like Nigerians that are living outside of Nigeria, the number is, you know, a lot. And this is the people that can afford most of these properties. So they know it. And those are the ones that are really like fueling our real estate here.
Yes.
So most of the times they build for that market.
For the market.
Leaving like the local people. You know, so that's why I'm like, most developers now have to start thinking about building higher so that we can accommodate more people. So from an investment point of view, it is good, but that investment, I'm sorry to say, would have to stay within Nigeria, because then you now think about things like the naira to dollar, naira to pounds, naira to euro. As an investor, you should be able to pull out your your investment, turn it to cash, and take it to any market that you like. But the question now is, let me ask you, if you have a listing that comes up on the market right now for 1 billion naira, how long do you think it's going to take that listing to get sold?
So it depends on the finishing. It depends, so many factors, basically. I've had listings come on the market and that week, it's out of the market.
It's sold.
Yes. And of course, I would keep getting calls for that particular listing just because it was done to perfection, right?
Yeah.
Now, there are other listings that even myself, I mean, I've toured houses and I'm like, oh my God, I really don't want to do this. But I just, and funny enough, some of my viewers who know me, and they're like, confidence is being forced to sell this property. And those kind of properties stay on the market for a while. So it depends, really. People, I think a lot of people out there, they know quality.
Yeah.
They know when this is worth it.
Of course,
it.
anybody buying a 1 billion naira house,
so they can tell that there's some people that, I mean, I get to see some houses that get sold and I'm like, how did you buy this house? Like,
yeah.
Did you look at it, really? There's people that have the money and just want to buy something. Maybe they're looking for space and not necessarily about the little things that makes luxury luxury.
Yeah.
You know, so it depends. I could list a house today I listed a project recently and I can tell you that we have a lot of people who are lined up
for that
project.
Yeah.
Just listed it like on Sunday. And I have lots of people on that project. We've had viewings. So and it's quite expensive.
Now, this is what I was going to say. The demand. There is demand for this property.
Yes.
So as an investor, it's also good because you think about the housing deficit. Let's say you're building maybe a high rise of maybe like 150 apartments. You're an investor. You want to keen to that. You'll probably make your money back, whether it be short-term rentals, capital gains. You maybe want to wait for a while and resale. So from an investment point of view, Nigeria is actually, it's a good market, right? Mm-hmm. But there are just some things that would make some investors question their investment in Nigeria. And that is, how strong is our local currency?
But do you think this is temporal? I think it's temporal. I think
the I'll now ask you a question. What has really gone up that came down? Let's start from Phil.
It happens everywhere, really. Goes up and
now,
down?
I'm not trying to promote my South African brothers there too much, but there was a time the rand went to 20 rands to $1. I was surprised. By the time I went there, now it's down. It's down now to 19 point something. Is there any time that Nigeria's, the naira to dollar, is there any time it has gone up and has come down?
I have faith.
You know, it's not about faith. It's economies, right? Right? It's about the people managing the country, you know? So that's where but when you talk about like your getting value for you would. But when you now want to take that investment in Nigeria and you want to exit this market and then move to another market, that's where you have a challenge. But here, there's always going to be a demand as an investor going into real estate, right? Probably you want to go into short let. You would obviously have people, you know, you want to rent. A lot of people, like, yo, a friend of mine told me, like, people are now renting houses for 15 million.
Yeah.
20 million. Some are even converting it now to dollars. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They have to profile. They are now profiling people.
True.
In as much as it's expensive, they are profiling people, you know? I don't know which developer was telling me how much it costs to rent number one body loan. I don't remember who, but we're talking about
$120,000.
Dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And before you go, they will profile you. There's a whole stage.
Stage, exactly.
That you have to go through. So you can see, like, there's a demand. Mm-hmm. There's a demand for it. So I'm going to keep owning, like, apartments here, but not so much. But I'll just have, I'm Nigerian. I want to have my investment in Nigeria. I want to build my Nigerian portfolio. I posted something on my Twitter yesterday. I was like, by the time I'm 35, I want to have at least $1 million in my real estate portfolio. Now, I don't know if that would be in Nigeria or spread around, but I don't want to be frustrated as a developer. Sorry, I don't want to be frustrated as an investor. I want to be able to say, okay, something is happening in Nigeria. Probably, God forbid, there's a war or something, and I have investment somewhere else, right? So I'm not saying this to discourage you if you're thinking about coming to Lagos to invest. It's a very good market. You would always, always do have a demand for your property.
So from your experience, where do you think is the best place to invest? Like, are there certain cities that have a potential for growth?
It's quite unfortunate right now. Like, as somebody that wants to buy a property as a diaspora, because I've actually spoken to quite a number of these people, right? When they want to invest, it's usually like Lagos. It's Lagos first, before then Abuja. And when you think about why they are making such a decision, is because of where the government choose to put infrastructure in. So the countries, or sorry, the cities that would then take over after Lagos, Abuja would be the ones closest to it. So for Lagos example, it would be maybe Ibadan, because now I can see a lot of people are selling lands
in Ibadan, Ogun State.
I don't know, because I attended this event, you know, this lady said, you have all these people that want to buy cheap house in Lagos. Lagos is not cheap. Take them to Ibadan. Take them to Ogun State. You know, so I feel like states surrounding like Abuja or Lagos would then see the next set of development. In the east, maybe Port Harcourt. You know, I've not really operated in that market, so I really don't know. I don't know if you've sold anything in Port Harcourt before. Yeah, so I really don't know how that.
I've had requests for Port Harcourt, for Owerri, for Aba. Yeah, I think.
But you see, those markets would take a long time.
True that.
Yeah, because you like. If you're a developer right now, where's the first place you're going to go and develop? Where there's a demand, right? If I probably wanted to buy a house where I'm not necessarily in a rush to try and make a lot of money from it, or probably I just want to build, like, you want to build something proper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to build, like, a Lakwa Lakes replica that is not so expensive for now, and you're not someone in a haste to look for profit or something like that, then you can go to Ibadan, get a very good land. I don't know how many thousands square meters. You get it, you build your stuff. I went to Imo State and, you know, they took me to this estate called, I've forgotten. But most people that built in that estate, they are the ones building for themselves.
For themselves.
So they don't have like all of these city planners, city developers that are doing mass houses like they are doing here and selling. So most people there are building for themselves. So then that tells you like, why are the developers not interested in that area?
I think it's security.
Is it security? Because when you, in as much as people are saying, oh, this place is not safe, you go there and everything is going as it should, right? Somebody is threatening me, I should not drive to the east. But I can drive to the east, nothing will happen. But then I could also drive, nothing will happen. So I think the solution to this question you just asked me, I feel the government, once again, they are in charge of, when you think of migration, right? People are migrating to where they are going to see opportunities.
Opportunities, yeah.
And right now, when we're young, anybody that wants to make it comes to Lagos. So mm-hmm. I think the government can use that narrative to reverse engineer the chaos that they have caused, the traffic in Lagos and Abuja.
Yeah.
Start decentralizing these things now. Take all these headquarters away. Incentivize people for living in, you know, Kano or Ogun State. For someone like me, I have no business living in Ikateo. I have no business living here. Like the kind of work I do does not require me to engage with the roads and stuff like that. I don't mind living in Ekpe or something. But the only problem is when I go and get a very nice house in Ekpe, the day that I want to come out and do a business in VI or something, then I'll spend the whole day on the road. That's what I don't like. But if there was probably like a train or something that can do good, that can do maybe 30 minutes here, 30 minutes back, I wouldn't mind. And I know that there are thousands of people out there as well that don't mind to leave the urban areas and go to areas that are a little bit faster. Like, for example, when I was in the UK, I was like, I was telling my friends, I'm in London. Everybody's like, we don't live in London, bro. Nobody lives in London.
I heard. Nobody lives in London.
Nobody lives in London. Are you that rich? You know, so everybody, like my brother is living in Leeds. This one, everybody's,
Kent.
You know, everybody's scattered in Manchester. But then if you're driving, for example, to Leeds, like 4 hours. But then if you're going to use the train, like 1 hour, 30 minutes, and you're there. So you can see, and there are some people that actually have jobs in London and they live in this outskirts, in this areas as well. So I think the government really, like, I don't know.
I think that's why we have the coastal road. I think that's why they're trying to make other alternative routes and, you know, the train. They're trying to revive all of those means of transportation.
Well, let's see how it comes to life, because the train in Lagos right now, how long did that thing take to get complete? How? Because I remember when I moved to Lagos, I was seeing the pillars.
At CMS, right?
Yes, I saw the pillars, and you know, every year, it only launched like, where was it, last year?
Yeah.
So can imagine, and I can already tell you the load on that infrastructure now is beyond what they built it for. So now they have to start thinking, okay, what else can we build so that we can reduce the load? You know. Like in London, I keep comparing Nigeria to London. I know it's not a healthy competition because these countries are like, they are way older, they are way bigger. But I feel we can draw inspiration from these guys. Yeah. You know, they have like different line, Elizabeth line, this one line. So you might be going to the same place, but you're using different trains, you know. So I think the government has to step in and say, we want to decongest Lagos. We want to take people away. So we now give UBA incentive. You know what? We're going to give you an incentive in Ogun State. Go and build your headquarters there. Because you don't want to build, then you need to hire people. And then people will come in. And then real estate, or they'll be like, okay, there's a need for house. Now let's build, you know. And other like, apart from that, like, I'm sorry, it's going to take a long time.
To talk about your personal experience, you recently purchased a home.
Yeah.
Now, what motivated you to make that decision? And how did you choose the property you invested in?
Real estate is real. And I feel for every well-to-do person out there, a real estate portfolio is probably like their number one or maybe their number two, right? So, and I think young people we need to start thinking that way as well. So all the people that are doing Bitcoin, all the people that are doing Forex, you hear them talk about, oh, I have this house somewhere. So as a young guy as well, so I want to do the same, right? Right? I want to own something that has a physical address that, and I think real estate is the only industry that, except for war or like all of this, you know, disasters. That really happens. That's the only thing that can really like damage your investment. But real estate is one that would keep growing and, you know, appreciating, irrespective of what the economy is saying, right? So of course, I'm educated about all of those things. And then I was like, okay, I want to be intentional now. I want to own something, right? So I think I first started with the land. Right now, I want cash flow from real estate. So if I want cash flow, land is more of like capital gain.
Capital gain, yeah.
It's going to take a long time for me to sell the land that I bought for 20 million for 100 million, right? So I choose apartments are good deals. And one of the reasons why I actually bought up... One reason why I bought the apartment was like, oh man, I'm a very busy person. I'm always traveling. So maybe when I'm traveling, I'll probably put my apartment on short-term rental, which I tried. And guys, you don't want to know you don't want to know what happened, you know? So we, in Lagos, we do have, I mean, there are a few apartments that are doing a very great job with their facility management. Like they really do manage. And this is really what makes the short-let or Airbnb market thrive. And so I tried that and it didn't really work. So the reason I'm buying all of this is I want an asset class that will keep appreciating irrespective of whatever the economy is saying, right? And I don't want to be working forever. I probably want to retire at 40 years old and then live off my investment. And what investment am I going to live on? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to live on an investment as an influencer. You're not going to be an influencer forever. There's going to be a young guy that will come and kick you out.
Exactly.
You know? So you need physical things. And for me, I feel I really do want to play in the real estate market. And I do want it to take a greater chunk of my investment portfolio. And of course, where would I start from? Where I'm from or where I live, Lagos.
So what motivated you and how did you choose the property you invested in?
I mean, I just happened to do a deal with a developer. I was like, you know, like I make videos, so I was able to strike a deal with him. But right now, I am looking for, for people watching this, I mean, just look for a developer that like has integrity. I know it's easier said than done. You probably would not know the ones that have integrity, because you know when someone is trying to get your money, like they are going to act all nice and stuff. But yeah, properties that are in nice locations. So, and you also have, you need to also know your reason for investing. I'm talking about the young people like me out there watching this video. So if you're probably investing as into real estate and you want to get money from it, then it probably has to be like apartment, mm-hmm. or probably you want to flip it. I noticed like flipping is not something very popular in the Nigerian market, yes. right? Because I interviewed this guy. And what he does is he goes, buys an old house and then, you know, refurbish it, makes it very nice, and then sells it for a better price. If I was also going to play into inside the real estate market, that's probably what I would have been doing. Mm-hmm. Just go and buy an old house, make it very nice, make videos about it, sell it and move on to the next one, right? So I think like the real estate market here don't even allow so many ways to come into the market. I think
we're just very stereotyped. Like, we want to do this. And then, of course, culture, and we're very religious. Mm. You know, when you say, most clients who call me, even the diaspora, like the clients, then I'm like, you guys, the houses you're living abroad,
yeah,
probably renovated, you know? They're always like, I want a new house that nobody has lived in. They keep saying that all the time.
But they are living in a place where the house they are living, they are not the first person.
Do you understand?
So why is it when you come to Nigeria? Maybe,
like I said, religion. Who lived there? Did anyone die there? Did you bury? You know, we have a way of burying people
in our
living rooms.
Well, you wouldn't know, like, for real. I think anybody who says that to you, that person is just, I'm sorry, you're just being an hypocrite, because the house that you're living in, mm-hmm. There's a very high, there's a likelihood that you didn't build that house.
That's true.
So what did you know what happened there? And probably the person flipped the house, you know. So it's something that I feel, I don't know why it's not something very popular. In this side of the world,
I told you, a lot of people are like,
no, I don't think
the religious spiritual aspect there, because I've had clients always like, you know, they keep asking questions, especially when we have like a distress sale.
Yeah,
someone wants to relocate and needs to sell. We just keep the questions. Okay, why are you sure? Did they do something?
So they're not concerned about the paperwork and if the
no, not the paperwork. Mostly about what kind of lifestyle was lived, how many people lived there, who are they? Did anyone die there? You know, what kind of religion?
Trust
are they spiritual?
Me. If I take an old house, because right now I kind of like have an idea of what a functioning house should look like.
Mm-hmm.
See, I take an old building, I turn it around and I make nice videos. I'm you're not going to ask me that question, trust me. Yeah, you're just going to be like, oh my God, this is very nice. Like when I did the interior design for my house, the landlord was like, what? You know, like we took down the kitchen and did the kitchen again. Shout out to Rolly. She did the whole kitchen for me. It was like nice. So I if you do it nice, I don't think there's anybody that's going to come and tell you, did anybody die? Are you going to buy? The property is in a nice location. It's in a nice location. You can get good cash flow. You can collect rents of like 5-10 million from it. What are we talking about?
I think that's another part on the developer's part, or the owner,
yeah,
the person who wants to resell, they don't pay attention to renovation. They don't renovate it well. So it's just more or less like, you know what? I want to flip. You're buying it cheap. Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And these people who want to buy, yes, they want to buy something affordable, but they're going to still ask these questions. It's imperative that they get to know all of these things before they go ahead with the purchase.
And the answer is no.
So
the house is fine. Nothing happened to it. Yeah, it's okay. For real. Yeah. Because if you're going to buy a used car, you're not going to ask, oh, the person that had this car, did they have HIV or something? You're not going to ask all those questions. You're going to be like, oh, it's Mercedes, GLK, GLC, nice, 2020. Let's go. Let's buy it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I don't think people should be, when it comes to Nigeria, like, yo, I think the thing you should be focused on is the property in a good location?
The title,
is it good? Will you have cash flow from it? If it's cash flow that you're looking, like, can you put that thing on the market and people will beg you to rent it? Once you have all this information, like, yeah, like, please, let's not be religious in this country. Like, yo, let's not. I think so. I don't remember who posted this thing on Twitter. One Twitter influencer, it was like, he went to the UK, and while they were in the restaurant, they were eating, and one of his friends choked. They dialed the ambulance, and in less than 2 minutes, the ambulance was there. He was shocked. There was nobody praying. There was nobody doing, Lord, I rebuke you. And it was just a system that worked that saved him. I was such a funny thing.
But I mean, funny but true. We're very religious here in this country. But anyway, let's not go into
let's keep that, you know, because it even affects our politics sometimes. Let's keep that. Yeah.
True. So your home buying challenges, do you have, I mean, can you share your challenges and then the lessons?
I think the challenges there would just be buying from developers that have integrity. I mean, I bought something that was finished, but then the properties that I want to now buy are like off plan. Mm-hmm. And then I'm questioning the integrity of the developers. Like, what has this person built? Did they actually keep to their word? Mm-hmm. So I think you're just going to, you need to go with someone who has like proof of work.
And I get you calling me all the time, asking questions.
Yeah, I'll call her and be like, yo, do you know this person? What do you think about this project? You know? Yeah, like it just has to, because when you are going into a project at an off-plan stage, if the developer tells you this project will be ready in 15 months, and then you're already planning, okay, if my goal was to buy it at an off-plan stage to sell when this project is complete, I can plan.
Yeah.
You cannot just, after 15 months, you say, oh, we are 40%. Like, you know, so I will not 100% blame these developers. The Nigerian factor also plays like a very big
major role
in like, the delay, but some of them, I'm sorry to say, like, they're not actually developers, they are businessmen. They just bring their whole business idea into construction. Mm-hmm. You know, they have no training, no grooming, they have not served in a big real estate company before that they can say, okay, we took this and this and this and this
exactly.
Now, but it's a, you know, so it's just somebody that, I have money, I have 10 billion. You know what? Let me go into construction.
Very
you know,
true.
No training, no nothing. And that's why we have buildings collapsing every day, because we have people that are not trained. I think in Dubai, I'm not 100% sure this is correct, but even though you're very wealthy, you cannot go into construction. You need to work with a government accredited developer. Hmm. These are certified by the government to build. Then you take your money and you give to them to build for you. I mean, the government needs to come in and make sure they certify this new develop, this real estate development, because go to Shongotedo right now, you would count how many real estate development company they are. They are coming out every day. These are people that have no experience in construction, right? So once again, regulators, the government, they need to come out and say, okay, if you want to build, these are the requirements that you need to meet before you get your real estate construction license in Lagos to build. That way, I think we're going to reduce. You can imagine how would you build such a high-end project in a place like Ikoyi and comes down? Like, it doesn't even make sense. You know, so if you're a diaspora person, you need to work with, I think your closest bet would be the brokers, right? The real estate agents. These are the people, they kind of know. They have an idea.
That's why we're here.
You know, they have an idea about developers that are credible, and they sometimes will do a good job. That's why I use sometimes. You know, they sometimes will do a good job to direct you to towards like the right people that you should buy from, you know, because I think the only reasonable way you should, a proper investor is not going to buy a completed unit already. You're going to buy off plan.
Exactly.
And utilize 100% of your investment, you know. So if you're going to, at least you should buy from people that would keep to their word.
Words, exactly.
100%.
So what's your advice for first-time home buyers?
Omar, first-time home buyers, well, it's expensive. And it's just sad to say, like, a lot of young people, because me, I advocate for young people going into real estate. I'm talking about the 65-year-old people, young people. And those are, like, the ones that I'm really after, you know. It's just so unfortunate for us. There is no mortgaging. There is mortgaging, but when you think about like the way our market here works, I think most people will come and tell you 6 months payments plan, 12 months payments
plan.
That's
developers.
Yeah.
I think from banks, what scares people away? The interest.
The interest rate. Yeah, I was going to go into that as well. The interest rate. Like I interviewed this guy in Switzerland. I was telling me he's having single digit interest rate, 4%, 5%, 6%. And when I posted the video, people were like, "He's a liar. He's fraud. Why would you not think he's fraud when you are living in a country that don't work?" You know, so he's literally building his real estate portfolio using debt, getting cheap interest from the government to build. You know, first of all, you need to save up a reasonable amount of money, right? It's not like in the UK where if your house is £200,000, all you just need to do is put £10,000 and then spread the years by 30 years. I met the friend. She's paying 30 years payment plan. She's chilled. She's not even worried about nothing. She's just in her house. Yeah, it's my house. I'm paying for 30 years. You know? So I think as a Nigerian person, first need to save. I'm sorry, but this is the hardest part. Need to save a huge chunk. We're talking about probably, you need to save like 50, 60, 70 million. I know for some of you watching this, you're privileged. You can make that money in like 2 months. But there are some people that they don't earn so much, right? And they are in their 30s. They want to buy this home. So you need to save at least half, like maybe 60, 70 million in your hands. And then meet a real estate agent and tell them your purpose for your investment. Whether it's you want residential, you want somewhere to live, or you want an investment. And then they would advise you. Should you buy land? Should you buy an apartment? Or should you keep waiting, right? And then maybe you go into an off-plan project. Maybe you go to the mainland and then you see a development that just started. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they will take you to an off-plan project. You see a development that just started. They're telling you this apartment, when it's completed. Now they are selling 40 million. When it's completed, they'll be selling for 80. And the real estate agent will advise you to key into it. You key into it and then you start hustling up to pay the rest. Or you might even sell the project 50% into that development. You know, like there are different ways.
Exactly.
Maybe you drop the 40 million and then when that project gets to like 60%, you can now sell for like 55 or 60, take that money, you go into another project, you know. These are all the things like we were not taught. And I feel if you're someone that don't have money, you're a young person like me without a lot of liquid money to go into, I think that's the hell, like that's one of the easiest way. Except you're ready to chest the interest rate. You want to go and get a loan from bank. Say probably you have a very good job or you're an entrepreneur. Then you can go to the bank and collect 12% or 15% or 17% interest rate. Or you go to your village. No. I'm not playing. Yeah, you go to your village. Right now, my father called me and told me like, there's a land in my village. I should bring 400,000. 400,000 is money that you spend in Lagos in 1 month.
You spend at the bar one night.
People spend that at the club one night. So you go to your village and you start. Like, I'm not playing. So for example, in my town, Ihiagor, where I'm from, I think there's a university close by. So what the investment a lot of people do is they build hostels.
Yeah.
Right? They can build. So you can actually go and build something cheap. Maybe if it's cash flow, if it's actually cash flow you want, you can be collecting from students. Or you can build something, go to the Owerri City or something.
Yeah.
You sell, then bring the money to Lagos, you know. But I feel that's why a lot of people get, what do they call all these people that advise people about investment? Is it investment bankers?
You have investment bankers.
Yes.
You have consultants.
Yeah, so as I'm speaking particularly to young people, right? So that's why you need all of these people to advise. For me, I have a few people that, you know, I would call to ask, you know, what do you think about this? You know, because sometimes as a young person, you can be stupid with money. Once you start having money coming to your pocket, you know, so you need people that would advise you. But yeah, what I said earlier on about saving up and keying into a project at an early stage and then maybe selling at 50%, or if you can struggle to pay the project, you pay, you sell, you move. I think that's the most organic way to do real estate in Nigeria, I feel. Maybe except you have some other way.
Yeah, sure, definitely. I mean, buying off plan is one of the best ways to actually invest, especially for those who don't have all the money at once. And then, of course, cash flow. You could also resell later at a higher value. So there are just so many ways to make it in the real estate sector. And then you could buy lands. The good thing about lands in real estate right now, especially along that corridor, is things are happening so fast.
Yeah.
The things that we say it will happen in 10, 20 years are beginning to happen. The so-called coastal road we had been talking about years ago, we're thinking, okay, Nigerian factor, in the next 20 years, this will be done. But it's already something in progress. It's being constructed currently. And the airport, I heard they've signed and they're going to begin construction there. And these are the things that bring about appreciation for land. So for people who want to invest, if you don't have, not everybody has the money for apartments for short lets. A lot of people call me, confidence, I want to invest. How do I go about it? So that's one of the things we actually offer.
So let me ask you, what was your first investment in real estate?
Land.
It was the land?
Yeah.
Well, which area was the land?
So we had land, we had around that Ekwe axis, we had around the bedroom. Then we started coming closer. Now, for this access, it's not like it's not like land banking anymore. For us, it's more of, okay, development, getting people a home, reselling and all of that. But yes, those ones are necessary because we've seen what happened over time. We've been in the industry for like 7-8 years and we've seen the transformation. The Lekki access wasn't what it used to be, what it is right now. You know, people bought lands years ago. I think I saw a video of Lekki Phase 1 recently and I was like,
Is that actually Lekki Phase 1 or the person was tricking us?
We can't say, but the truth is Lekki Phase 1 wasn't always this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was much younger, I used to come to VGC. I had an aunt there and I know the traffic because it was just one lane. You know how the Ekpe Road used to be? I don't know if you saw Ekpe, how it was just one lane.
And then we had roundabouts.
Before the roundabouts, yeah. It was just one lane. Very, very, it was years, I think 2009, 2008. They were a very, very narrow, you know, road. And look at Lekki Phase. I had a client who was, he bought some properties from me basically because he sold his land on Admiralty. Now, it wasn't Admiralty. I saw his survey. These were like roads on the survey, you know, just roads. So it wasn't Admiralty. And he bought in Festac. And, you know, we had Festac, then Festac 77, Festac and all of them. So he sold his land. He had 4 plots and he bought properties in Festac. No, not a bad idea, but then no one really, we had an idea of what Lekki Phase 1 would be, but it's way more than what we had envisaged. And if he had kept those lands that he bought, you know, for a little sum, and by now he's selling in billions because lands in Lekki Phase 1 right now is crazy and scarce because we don't have so many of such. So for those access, for younger people who actually don't have all the money, because the truth is Lagos State is getting very expensive.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, we don't have cheap, let's call a spade a spade. You want a cheap property in Lagos.
But is it expensive because it's actually expensive, or is because the availability of land is reducing every day?
So yeah, that adds to it, scarcity. When there is a lot of demand and there's no supply, of course, the cost of things will increase. So yes, that's part of it. We don't have too many lands available. One, and then the development, everything happening around. Ikate wasn't Ikate. I mean, 4 years ago, the Ikate, where we had, you know, the Kamba Wall and the likes, was water. I went there and they were selling lands for 60 million thereabout. Yeah, there. I took a client there to buy a property. It was just water. And I was like, no, this is just water. Are you kidding me right now? There is no water there anymore because everything, apartments, yeah. Nothing there anymore. You know, so all of these things are happening. Changes are taking place. So the cost of apartments, the cost of housing units are increasing. I had a client who reached out to me, said, confidence, when I save, by the time I want to buy, the price has changed.
Yeah.
How are we going to do this? So I said, you know, we'll make a down payment. Just make it down. The moment you lock it up with your down payment, no matter the increase, you're not affected. So that's another angle to those who, you know, want to buy and you just want to, first of all, talk to a broker. We are here for you to walk you through the entire process.
Then, but, okay, I'm going to let you finish because I want to say something about brokers. Like, why is it Lagos don't have certified brokers? Like, how are we going to know the ones to trust and not? Because when you put on YouTube right now, house for sale in Lagos, you're going to have like 1,000 people saying, oh, welcome. My name is this from this realty.
So not just brokers. Yeah. We have so many things. I mean, nobody's certified in so many things, really. Not just brokers. You know, you could call a carpenter today. We have furniture makers. We have carpenters. Do you understand? You could call, he would say, one Baba, something taught me. And it's just basically what you're looking out for. You know definitely who to work with. You see, you could see it there. You're talking to me recently about the interior decorators and all of that, right? You know, when you see what the person is offering, you can tell that, okay, I
want
to
work. But then you want cheaper.
Well, that's on
you. How can I get it cheaper?
So that's on the client right now. But I mean, there are people out there who want quality. Yeah, they would want to price and all of that. It's now you that knows the value. You have to sell the value to the client. So yeah, there are ways to buy the properties. You can start with lands, affordable lands. You can flip. I've helped some clients flip their lands to buy something else. So you could buy lands, you could buy apartments. But the thing is, especially on this corridor, towards the Ikoyi axis, the cost of housing keeps increasing. So if you're waiting till you have all the money, you may never have all the money.
Because
apartments in 2021, apartments in Ikate sold for 38 million. Yes, two bedroom apartments with big views.
Yeah, I know someone that bought in my estate. He bought for 40 million.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about like 200 million.
Yeah, 200 million. So it would just, I mean, imagine someone, there was a client of mine who I told about that property in Ikate and he didn't buy. He was like, you know what, let me just be gathering money. And he said it to me this year. I wish I listened to you and I bought, because he just realized, okay, I want to have something down this corridor. And I said, these are the prices. So like, no, you can't tell me that. This is what you told me in 2021. I said, this is 2024. A lot of things have happened. So for people who want to buy, I would just advise, okay, now, like you said, your budget, you need to know how much you have, how much you want to spend. If it's off plan, then you need to know, okay, am I going to be, because you can't default. How much will I be paying every month? Am I able to make this every month? Am I able to pay? What kind of plan? Now, what we try to do is to negotiate with developers on behalf of our clients for a flexible plan.
Right.
So not just the 6 months. We've been able to get like 24 months for some clients. We've been able to get like 36 months for some people. We just how we try to find a way, you know, to balance it up basically. So let's it's about you.
Yeah. But no, I'm the one interviewing you now. I just hope like Lagos don't get to a point where, I mean, recently in Cape Town, they're having an issue now where the local people can't afford housing anymore because of the gentrification. And now you're having influx of Europeans. If you tell a European $100 or $150 a night, no problem. But then the landlords know like, okay, these Europeans are the market, and then they're now going to raise up their prices, and then the local people are not able to afford monthly rent anymore. So I hope Lagos don't get to that point where me and you can't afford to live in Ikate, or now we are now pushed to Ekpe because the foreigners are coming in and they're paying. I'm hearing, guys, 15 million naira for rent.
Yes.
I mean, if you convert, I don't know where you're watching this video from, if you convert to your country, it doesn't look like a lot of money, but then you now ask yourself, how much does an average Nigerian make with a normal job? Would you say most people make up to 1.5 million naira every month? Averagely. No. Because all of these flashy things that we are seeing here, people driving G-Wagon, we are less than 1%. Like, for real, like, if you want to calculate, like, the real average, it's not all these people, like, you know. So I just hope we don't get to that point where things get super expensive. But now, because now you are calling two-bedroom apartment 200 million, 250 million. People with jobs, like, for you to, if you consider yourself right now making a good salary, you're talking about one point something.
Mm-hmm.
And in rare occasions, would you hear? Say you're an MD of a bank, probably like what, 2 million, 2.5 times 12. You still can't buy a house. Still can't buy a house. So I don't know. I believe the government, they are aware of this and they have policies.
I think the government is putting some things in place which I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Some housing units, trying to make these things available. We're going to put it out soon on our platforms. But yeah, they are putting things in place in terms of housing units, making it affordable, providing payment
mortgages,
plans.
Mortgages. We need mortgages. Mortgages beyond 10, 15, 20 years.
But the thing about the NHF is sometimes it's more or less like who you know. Because you could apply. I had a client who was applying and she didn't get it until maybe like a year and a half. So, I mean, you want to buy a house and you're getting the facility a year and a half after you apply. So there are lots of people applying for the same thing, you know, and it's not.
I mean, let's just call it speed is speed. The real estate market here is not for people that don't have money.
Real estate everywhere. Okay. Not everywhere.
Yeah. People mortgage things. When you tell somebody like, oh, you bought a car and you paid it cash, don't you? You paid. What do you do for a living? You know, so.
And that's what we do in Nigeria. Yeah. Everybody buys everything.
You go and meet the car dealer. You're like, transfer me. Wow.
Just 200 million.
Or you're buying the house, the company. Oh yeah, have you sent the money? They will now say, okay, let's give you 3 months payment plan. What's the difference? 3 months payment plan, 90 days. Are you kidding me? It's crazy.
Oh, well, I think the government is putting things in place.
They should. They should, actually.
And lots of entrepreneurs are springing up.
Yeah.
You know, trying to also do some other things. Passive income, you know, multiple streams of income.
Multiple streams.
So a lot
the
of
Bible says you should have at least four.
So four. How many do you have?
How many income streams do I have? I don't know, man. Probably like 2-3-ish.
Wow.
Yeah, we're trying to bring more actually. You need like 4 to survive like a normal person. Mm. Yeah, where you're not affected by any economic situation.
I know, right?
Except natural disaster. Like tsunamis and flood. like yeah, but I mean we're living in a very interesting time actually. Mm-hmm. With the internet, the internet is very, very powerful.
Very powerful.
And how much you can make from the internet, like it's crazy. I mean, back in the days when I used to use my laptop, my mom thought I was doing
Yahoo,
because every day I wake up in the morning, I was on Fiverr. I was making like $100. There was even a time on my Fiverr account that I had like $2,000, right? And I did not have, I mean, then dollar to naira, it was like probably like what, 150 or something, yeah. So I didn't have anybody that could change that money for me where I was. So I had to come to Lagos and then I allowed the company log into my account. They put, it's crazy, but that was like just the beginning. Or I was like, yo, the internet is actually powerful. And then I just went, I was like, how do people make money?
Money.
Because when you think about all these things that we're calling, all these prices, like I don't think you can get it with a normal salary.
No.
Like all of this extravagance that we see in Lagos right now, all of this celebrity life, expensive things people are doing.
It's not salary.
It's not salary. Mm-mm. So then you ask yourself, how are they making this money? And that's what we're going to investigate on our channel. Watch out.
Now your reflections on the Nigeria's luxury market. You've seen luxury properties in Nigeria.
Well, I will not say, please, if you're a real estate agent watching this video, stop tagging all your houses luxury. Like, I feel we're using that word too much. That even the word luxury is ashamed of itself right now. For real. Because every little thing, luxury, like, yo, first of all, you're selling luxury. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot say affordable luxury. You cannot add anything cheap to the word luxury. Luxury is luxury, right? Luxurious. So we're talking.
The clients want to feel like they're living in Banana Island, in Naija.
Even then, they know they don't have luxury money. Like, can we be honest with ourselves here? You know you're going to buy a house of 150 million. There is no way that house is luxurious. What are you talking about? Right? So I feel like there are key elements in the luxury. Mm. I mean, functionality is very big. Okay, no, let's even start from the location first of all, right? You're selling a house in Ajah. You're calling it luxury. That's wrong. And then we go into the property. Now we're talking about functionality. How functional is this property? Does it give the owner space, right? Does it give the owner security? What is the neighborhood looking like? What are his neighbors? What are they looking like? You know, those are things that you put together. Yeah. You call it luxury. So we do have quite a number of places, actually. Mm-hmm. We actually did a video together where we visited some luxurious neighborhoods, right? But you're going to find them far up there in the Ikoyis. We're talking about Shoreline.
Mm-hmm. Banana Island.
Just a few...
You talked about location being,
Banana Island is just a name. Like, I'm not trying to be biased, but I have seen way better gated communities. I've seen way better communities that offer you a fraction of the price that they're going to call in Banana Island, right? Yeah. If we all start, first of all, let's just try to build right, first of all.
Sure.
Good architecture. Put some little functionality here and there, and then the government comes in, cleans up the area.
Like what exactly?
When we're talking about functionality, like when you are smart home technology is on the rise right now. Mm-hmm. And in Nigeria, I notice most people still have security men, gate men. You know, when the first cultural shock for me when I went to Namibia is when you're going into a house, they're going to give you your key and a remote. So that remote is for your gate. So when you're driving, you just keep it in your car. When you're driving, you just press, boop, the gate will open. When you're going, you close. You don't need a security, right? So what most people now do is they now integrate it with their cars, where their car have like an Android system, so they can integrate that technology where now you don't even need the buzzer anymore. You can just do it with your car. So that is functionality. Mm. And then we're talking about like recreational facilities in the property, swimming pools, gyms, because I went to this community that they had hiking trails. I was like, what? So we're talking about like common like areas where people, kids can go, they can play, greenery, and just a stronger community. You know, like all of this is what real estate in the real sense of it should be, not like what we have going here. You're going to pay for, you're going to buy a house, you'll be the one to build your borehole. Yo, I was telling somebody in the UK, like, where and she has never been to Nigeria before. I was telling her, like, we're the ones that do our, we bring our water from it. I was like, how do you mean? I was like, yeah, like here. Here,
oh my God.
Here, when you buy a house, you need to get a company that will come and bring water. So there, like, they do have, like, I mean, I had a lot of cultural shock in the UK. It was actually, nice. Okay, that was the, I've gone there like two times, right? And for every time I go, I try to, like, see things that are different. I speak to people and tell them, like, my condition at home. Like, this is how we live our life. Tell me about how people live your lives here. And they tell me, like, you know, they don't take cooking gas anymore. Their pipes running now. All you just need to do is connect. So once you don't pay your bills, everything gets disconnected. I know if you're in the UK now, you'll be laughing at me like, this boy is the village boy. But yeah, that's our reality here. Like, we're not used to all of this infrastructure. And when you think about it, this is what makes something luxurious. So you might not even live in a very luxurious community, but then you have access to all of these basic amenities, basic infrastructure that reduces your craving for luxury. Because now an average person wants to drive a G-Wagon, or you want to live in Banana Island. Why does everybody want to live in Banana Island? There should be a plethora of options. Mm-hmm. Like, we have options. You can live here, you can live here, you can live here. I don't necessarily need to have a house in Banana Island. I can say without my, I can beat my chest and say, I don't want Banana Island house. And I have options. But then if I say, I don't want Banana, you start looking at me. Where else do you want to
live? Where do you want to live?
You know, stuff like that. So the luxury market, yo, we're far away. We're like far, far, far away. But there are a few communities I do admire, like the Lakwe Golf and Country Estate. The guys that are building that, they're doing a great job. I do like Nikon Town a lot. I keep telling you that over and over again. They're doing a great job as well. I do like Shoreline, very close to Banana Island. Great job. Just a few homes, 60 units or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this community is like out of the reach of an average person. Like,
out of the reach.
Not even if you're rich, even if you're just normal rich, you still can't afford it.
It's super rich. You have to be super, like, because land right now, I think there's no land. The way they are hoarding this land.
Yeah.
So the moment a plot of land is in the market,
but you know,
in a week.
Yeah.
And it's going for like maybe 3 point something billion for land. And it's out of the market.
But you know, in a functional society, there are some areas that are not, you can't bank land. It's illegal. Because if they give you a land, you must develop on it. And there's a timeline. If you don't develop on that land, they're going to take it away. And that's why Wiki right now in Abuja, I think he's trying to implement stuff like that. Because why are you having in a very prime location that is adding to the cityscape and you are leaving it abandoned and unbuilt? So land banking should be for outskirts. You know, so what people would do, their land banks, they'll go and do agricultural farms and stuff like that. They are banking the land, but for the meantime, they're using it, you know. So, please, you're banking land in Lekki Phase 1. Why?
Of land.
Like, this city needs to be fine, you know. And
I know.
There's housing deficit. People should, they should build. Developers, please, I'm begging you, please, you guys should build the house and make it affordable for us.
Affordable for, I mean, that's the key word there. Affordable for, I think we're going to get there soon. I think we're going
to
get there.
Yeah, but we're far away from the luxury. Like, to be, I'm not even trying to, I'm trying to shade Nigeria. We're far away from the, when people are saying luxury gated communities,
we're far away from it.
Yeah, and a lot of people, and you have a lot of diaspora audience, so they can tell you.
Yeah. Sure. So let me ask this question, right? I get lots of clients and diasporans reaching out. Can't we have trees, green? So let me
greenery.
You know, would you like a small house then surrounded by greens?
Do you know what my dream house is? Have you been to Almart Farms in Abuja? Almart Farm is a farm, and what the owners are, I interviewed the owner, one of the owners. They're trying to build like all of this, you know, where you are living in a farm. And but right now they just have chalet, so you can go and stay there for a day. So now you have a farm, you have your tomato, you know, where you can plant your tomatoes, you have a place for the horses, you know, and then you have pathways. Then now that kind of place where I want to live, and then you just give me like a small 500 square meters, let me build my sustainable home. that is off-grid, you know, where I can wake up in the morning, I can walk my dogs, I can trim my horses, you know.
I'm going to ask my viewers, you guys like that idea? Because I think it's about them, you know, when they complain about the greens.
Yeah.
Like you said something earlier, the cost of land, it's quite high in these locations.
So there,
quite
there, high. There are some areas where, to be very honest, you can't get greenery. I'm sorry. You can't, like, you can't go to New York and ask for greenery, except you're like super rich. Then they will find a way to make it artificial for you, right? So a lot of people will say, yes, but this is not New York. But yeah, it's Lagos. And I mean, if, I don't know if you can put the map of Lagos, like zoom out, zoom out, zoom out. You can see like literally we're sitting on water, right?
Yes.
And in another like 5 years, I can almost guarantee you like all the lands would have been sold.
True.
Right? So there is no space. But then the developers need to be aware of this, that there's no space, and still try to integrate greenery some way, somehow. Okay, so instead of you building like a very big house, build something that is manageable and integrate green space. I think I was interviewing this guy in Switzerland and he said, if your property don't have greenery, people are not going to buy because they are outside people.
Hmm.
They live in the outside, you know? So to be very honest, there's very limited quantity of land in Lagos, right? So if you want greenery, then you should go to a place like Lakwe, or you should go to Ekpe, or I don't know, go to Ibadan or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? But you should stop expecting greenery from Lagos, to be very honest. I mean, I used to be at that phase where I'd be like, oh, this property must have greenery. But when you actually speak to these developers, I mean, when they buy this land from the government, I know they buy it at a ridiculous price. Mm-hmm. And some of them have to buy this land sometimes two times.
Yeah.
You know, so when they buy it, and you know, they are business people as well. The government don't have government projects. How many government projects are there in on the island where their sole purpose is to build affordable homes, not too expensive homes, so that an average Nigerian person can buy?
Bye.
They're not a lot. So these developers are the ones coming in as much as they are business people. They want to make money as well. Mm. They need to make money. So if you buy like 1,500 square meters, we should do this with sense now. Please don't go and put 30 units. Don't go and put 30 units inside 1,500 square, you know. But yeah, I don't think people should expect greenery from Lagos. It's a nice to have thing in a house, but for the market that we are, if you want that, you have to be like super rich. You need to be able to bring a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, okay, then I want greenery. Yeah. So, and most of the people buying, they're not like super rich people.
Yes.
They're just average Nigerians in the diaspora doing decent jobs that can afford to take out a little chunk to invest back home, right? And then the Nigerians that are here hustling for themselves, those are the people that are trying. We don't have rich people like in Monaco where you have like super rich people, like they've made money in their country, they're just buying vacation home. Have you had somebody call you on the phone and be like, confident, we're looking for a vacation home and we're looking where can we buy in Lagos? Have you had a call like that?
I think I had a call like that, but I think that was a fraudulent call. They just called me and they were like, I have $30 million and I just want to invest in Nigeria. And I'm like, hello?
$30 million.
$30 million.
Well, I'm going to give you the old Lagos Island tickets.
You know, when it became fishy was when he said, they started speaking French, you know.
Ah, bonjour, yes.
I had to get my niece on the line because she speaks French. Like, you know what, come online, let me interpret. So they were speaking French and the next thing they were like, okay, can I take it cash? I'm like, Hold up. Cash, how? Can I come down to, I think they were in UK. Can I come to the UK?
Okay.
Or come to France? That he has a partner there. You know, just a long, long story. But they want to buy homes, vacation homes in Lagos.
That sounds very, how does he think you're dumb or something?
I don't understand.
why is he going to say that though? Like,
I get calls like that. I mean, it's part of the job, getting all those kind of calls. But anyway, so tell me, looking forward, looking ahead, what do you think is the future of the real estate market?
In Nigeria?
Mm-hmm.
The future of real estate market in Nigeria is this decentralizing this market.
Yes,
we're expanding. I was having a conversation once again with a friend and I was like, do you know, like, Kano is closer to Europe than it is from Lagos? So if Nigeria wanted to go into aviation, for example, then we would think of utilizing the north as our main aviation hub. where people can come from Europe to transit to probably the Middle East or Southern Africa, you know? But then when you're thinking about investment in the North, you already know. You already know what you're thinking about. Security. So yeah. I think the future of this market is the government will come in and be like, enough is enough. We want to reduce the 20 plus million people living in Lagos. We want to give people more opportunities outside of Lagos. We want to develop. Now we want to go to Jigawa and develop Jigawa. Jigawa now will be the real. Why are you laughing?
It's possible.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be Martin Luther or whatever, but the government will come in and say, you know what, now let's be intentional about this thing. This traffic in Lekki Epe, now we want to reduce it by 50%. Let's take people out. Let's go to which states close by. Let's start developing. Let's go to the north. Let's develop. And then people leave. People now, then now be like confident. Instead of buying a property in Lagos for 150 million, like an apartment, we'll go to Kano and buy it for 25 million and 30 million. I move my family there. Their headquarters, the trains are working, the trams are working, the buses are working. You know, we're living.
Like seeing these things, I'm already visualizing everything.
Like, yo, do you know, like, sometimes I forget that we have 36 states in Nigeria.
I know.
36 states. Some people don't even have that much. 36 states. So there's a lot we can do when we start thinking about other states in Nigeria. People, when I was going to go to Kano, people warned me I should not go to Kano, but I went to Kano and it was peaceful. But what I did not understand in Kano was every time when it's time for election, they say anybody who has won the North has won. But then I went, I wasn't seeing anybody on the road. We're driving on roads where we're not seeing anybody. We are the only cars there. You just, after like 5 minutes, you have another car pass by and the only people you see on the road are sellers and stuff. So how will you tell me Kano has almost the same population like Lagos? Where are the people? And then when you think about it, there are people like they are home, they're doing menial job, they're farmers and they farm and stuff like that, you know. But then the land is fertile. When you talk about, I went to Sharm el-Sheikh. Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt. Sharm el-Sheikh is just a resort town. And the people that are working there are into resort. Just like we went to Sal. Sal as well is a resort town. And that is what it's known for. So when you are passing through Kano, you just see vast land. I flew my drone. I saw vast land. It is empty. There is nobody there. So why can't the government try? I don't know. I think the only obstacle is the insecurity. So yeah, they go in and try to tackle this insecurity to make it as safe as possible. Then start moving people in there. Start moving people. We have the land. So if people actually want greenery, those are the places that we're going to have greenery, where you have like all these golf equestrian estates, where you're living in an estate like your backyard is a golf course. You know, that's where we're going to have it. We're not going to have it in Lagos. So sure, if you're asking me what the future is, that is the future. And that future is dependent on the government. People keep saying, I'm saying the government, they go, I'm sorry, you can't do anything without the government.
That's true.
The government has to step in and help. If they don't step in and help you as a personal developer, you say, oh, I'm passionate about Nigeria, I want to take Nigeria to the next level, and then you go to Kano to go and be with. Nothing's going to happen. So if you ask me what the future is, that is the future. That is the Nigerian dream.
Okay, finally, based on your journey,
yeah,
what would you say is your advice to young aspiring investors? Your final advice?
Yeah, I think I gave a few. I'm learning myself. I'm learning from people like you. I have like a few developers that I'm privileged to be close to, that I speak to. I think if you're a Nigerian person thinking of investing in the Nigerian market, first of all, you have to know like the mortgaging system is not in your favor. So I'm sorry, but you need to come into the market with cash. All right. And that's where you need to spend, I don't know, 3-4 years of your life just taking cash. Maybe you might not come directly to the Lagos market. Maybe you can start from where you're from. If you're in Port Harcourt, if you're in Imo State, if you're in Abia, you start from there and start building the portfolio to the point where, okay, I can exit this market with say 100 million or 200 million. And then I want to build on my portfolio more. Then I take it to Lagos. Then you go to an area like, I don't know, Bogije or whatever those areas are. You start building the ladder from there. Like if you don't have the millions of dollars to come into the market, I think that's the only decent way. Because if you try to capitalize on mortgaging, you're going to be paying high interest rates, which I feel is not healthy enough. So you have to start from somewhere that, you know, there's this place that people will say is the future. this place will be the future. People don't say Lagos is the future anymore because the land is already reducing, right?
Exactly.
So you have to start from somewhere close to you. Like my father called me for $400,000 land. Probably I'll just go and buy it and be praying I can see someone that I can sell it for like $700,000, you know, and exit that market. But I think that's the easiest way. And then you come to a more competitive market and playing. Yeah. The real estate here, sorry to say, is not for people that are just normal salary earners. Right. I don't think that's the way they market this part. Because I know when you ask me this question, you're referring to like a high-end market like Lagos or Abuja, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not built for like, you know, when I went, I was pricing. I saw this development close to my house. I said, this is a very, you know, when nice project meets a nice location. That was what happened. I said, I'm just gonna go speak to them. I went to them, I was like, hello, excuse me, sir. How much do you people sell an apartment here? They say, are you an agent? I say, no, I'm just a passionate homeowner. I want to see if I can buy a home here. And now told me they are selling a two-bedroom apartment going for like $250 million. First, swallow my saliva. I first swallowed my saliva. And then he took me, he said, oh, we got other units that we can show you. We're going to take you to the four-bedroom. This four-bedroom, you can... you know, we're selling for like $280,000, but you know, you look like a young man. If you come in, you know, we can speak to the owners and, you know, I just didn't look them. You know, so it's super expensive. Like, and then I asked them, okay, so for a project like this, what's the payment plan? They're like, they are really not doing payment plan, but they can consider 3-6 months-ish. I was like, what's the difference between 3 and 6 months? Like, if I was going to make the money, why don't you just make the money and come and give you cash?
I know, right?
People are paying 30 years payment plan. You're telling me 3 to 6 months. So we can talk about 3 to 6 months and give you a good deal. You know? So it's a very dicey market. You know, it's a very dicey market. Maybe I would go to Bene Republic and start my portfolio from their owners. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's been an interesting session. I'm sure no one has really seen Stephen like this. Yeah. I just told you that. Look at you, like talking like a lecturer.
Yeah. Cause me, I want to make money. I was speaking to my friend. I was like, guy, when are we going to buy G-Wagon? Like, let's sit down and be very honest with ourselves. When do you want to buy a G? And one of my friends, because he said it's G-Guard. When are you going to buy a G-Guard? You know? Don't blame me, because then living in Nigeria, I feel like the only way you can chop life here is you have to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same way in Europe. So allow me, I want to buy G-Wagon. Yes. So if we're all here doing all this, our menial jobs, small money coming in here and there, we cannot pull $250 million to buy a house. You know,
true.
So every day I'm going out, I'm learning what is the new way I want to make money. What is the new? I do have a book coming. I have two things coming up. I have a book. It's about the creator economy. For some of you who admire my work or you want to be creators, you want to, like, I call you a content creator in the real estate space. So you want to learn how to be a creator. So I'm writing a book, and also I have like an academy. It's called the Creator Lab Academy, where I get to teach people everything that I know. But then that's just like every day I'm just thinking about like, how can I expand on what I'm doing as a creator? We're talking about income stream earlier on. Yeah. Like, how can I make more money?
Mm-hmm.
How can I, like, beyond just showing up to make videos? Another thing, I did a documentary about this. I haven't released that one yet. I did a documentary about the skits making industry. You guys should watch out for that as well.
There's just so much to watch out for.
Yeah, like, these guys are, like, literally just... they are building wealth for themselves. And guess what? They don't have all of these complex things going on here. When I went to Sabino's set, they were using just a phone to shoot. But here, you have cameras, you have, you know, so I'm going to also share all of those things as well. I'm just a young person as well. Like, I do want to accumulate wealth for myself. And I do love real estate so much. Yo, the first video I did about real estate, we just entered Pinnock. Then I had a friend that was staying in Pinnock. We just drive past this house. Then Pinnock was selling for like $250 million. Yeah, it was building like, it was like it's a two-story, right? I just saw a house, you know. I just went to meet the developer. I was like, sir, please, can I shoot your house? I really do like this house so much. It looks very nice. Can I just shoot it to post on my channel? Then I just started making videos. He was like, okay, no problem. And I had like a GoPro, right? And then I went in. So for me, like, going into him allowing me to go into his house and showing me around, I was seeing things that I at that point, I was like, yo, I can never afford something like this. So he was showing me, you know, this is the pantry, this is the kitchen, this kitchen come with the state of the art, this and that. You can touch in smart home, you know, you can touch this and that. So that's like an aha moment for me. I was like, yo, like, this is really nice, you know, like, this is how somebody's. And when we're shooting this video, Don Jazzy actually came to price. I don't know if he actually came to price the house, but he came. He came to visit the property. I was like, oh, Don Jazzy is here. It's Don Jazzy again. You know, then, but that was like an aha moment for me. I went to the, I was touching the tiles, you know, touching the kitchen countertop. I was like, wow. You know, then I was now like, oh, I'm going to start shooting property so I can enjoy this.
I know.
You know? And they'll now call me, you know, then I'll go to the property. I'll be like, guys, welcome to my channel. This property is on the market for $1.5 million. I just call him price anyhow, you know. Like, a lot of people didn't know, it was just me excited, like, stepping into this. It just allowed me to see life in like a different perspective. Like, if I can step into this property, then I can buy it. Then it was just like, I'm stepping into a property like a future millionaire is actually going to call his home. You know, I was stepping into, I was touching the wardrobes, I was stepping into the rooms, I was taking pictures there, you know. Just told me like, yo, you should work hard as well. I hope I've not turned this into a motivation.
Go on, please. This is the side of Steven that we may not get to see all the time.
I'm a very I do want to create an impact before I die, actually. I do want to create an impact before I die. So by the grace of God, I feel like my surname is because of me right now. Like, if you search Nduku online, like, you can see things, you know, you see things. So I think before me, like, the name, and my surname is not the very popular surname that people have. Like, it's people, a lot of people don't have. I think it's just me and one footballer in Leicester that has the name Nduku. So when you search just Nduku on Google, you will see things, you know? So I'm just like, yeah, I want to also leave a stamp here on earth before I peace out. Thank you so much, Confidence, for having me on your show.
Steven, for coming on our podcast. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm sure my viewers are smiling, seeing this part of you, and I'm sure they're going to tell me, we need to see more of Steven. Thank you so much. It was an interesting session.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're just chit-chatting.
I know, right?
Talking about stuff. Please speak to your developer people. They should make house cheap for us so that we can buy.
I will. Yeah. I will. We're going to work on that. I will.
Definitely.
Good to have you. I'm sure you had fun watching this. Yeah. If you want to invest in real estate, I mean, you don't know how to go about it, because I keep getting mails all the time. Since we started this podcast, lots of people want to invest. They don't know how to go about it.
I think one of these days on your podcast, you should do an episode where you break down like how, like, if you make, let's say, accumulatively in a year, you're making like 20 million, 30 million, 40 million. Maybe you can break it into different episodes. How they can start building their portfolio. Mm-hmm. I think that will also be, then maybe you can feature a developer. You and two of you can sit down and you can start breaking, so that people in that income bracket. Can start learning how to start accumulating wealth with real estate. That would be a very interesting one to watch.
Yeah, sure. We're going to work on that. Now, pending that time, I mean, you can reach out to us for consultation, inquiries, how to go about it. We're getting there. For now, it's relatively free. It's free, but, you know, we're going to get there. Thank you so much. Once again, it's Key to Keys. I'll see you on our next episode.
Bye.